A very good evening and welcome along to The Score on the evening before St. Patrick's Day and ahead of another big weekend of sporting action. Donegal are preparing for the visit of Mayo in a crucial Allianz National Football League Division 1 encounter on Sunday. The Donegal ladies could also do with a good result this weekend. They meet Dublin tomorrow. We'll look ahead to both games shortly. Later in the programme, we'll hear from Declan Boyle as part of our League of Ireland preview. And for Coghill Celtic, there's that FAI Intermediate Cup semi-final to look forward to. They go to Ringmahon Rangers of Cork on Sunday. Chris Ashmore has got the views from the Coghill camp ahead of their big day. But we'll just switch to League of Ireland matters and we'll hear from Declan Boyle in a second or two. It's another busy weekend up ahead in the League of Ireland with the action starting this evening as Drogheda United meet their neighbours Dundalk. For Derry City, there's a North West derby with Sligo Rovers on Friday evening, while Finn Harps are at Longford Town in the First Division. Earlier on, I caught up with Declan Boyle to look ahead to this weekend's games, and I began by suggesting that it's two very different starting 11s that will meet in Longford compared to the last time these sides crossed swords when they were both in the Premier Division.
You're looking at different players and different squads, and definitely with Finn Harps this year, there's been a new look, a young, youthful team that Dave Rogers has put in, obviously, and they're working very well. They are improving match by match, and Longford is something similar. Their form hasn't been great either, but it's three draws and one loss to their date, so they've done reasonably well. They haven't scored many goals, but not conceding either. But every match in the First Division is always going to be difficult away from home, and Harps will probably find it difficult on Saturday evening in Longford.
Yeah, and the fact that neither side has managed to pick up a victory between them, Declan, that does suggest that this league is going to be difficult for both sides.
Yeah, listen, probably outside of Galway and Waterford, I mean, everybody else is very similar, I would say, in squads and strengths and depths. And home forms can be crucial. You know, Harps have played three home games and one away, and they've lost, obviously, 3-1 down to Athlone. So going away from home now to Longford will be a difficult match for Finn Harps and a young squad. But, you know, they'll go there with a bit of confidence and a good performance last week against Wexford, and they can bring that confidence. And somewhere along the line, you know, they're going to get 3 points away from home, and why not start on Saturday night against Longford?
Yeah, because the signs have been good, haven't they, the last couple of weeks? They had a decent performance against Bray, particularly in the second half. And then, you know, similarly last weekend against Wexford, there were positive signs there, some good individual displays. Unfortunately, struggling to find the net, maybe.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I think that's probably the area that needs addressing a wee bit, maybe, you know, and bringing a wee bit more strength and depth and probably maybe in the wings as well. So, you know, somebody that's, you know, going to create something out wide. To be fair, what you're going to get from a young, youthful squad is energy. You're going to get work. You're going to work extremely hard for the team. They're going to give you everything you possibly had. You probably lack a wee bit of experience against some of the better teams in the league, but you're going to get that energy all the time. And Dave Rogers mentioned being on the front foot all the time, so you're going to get that. But with youthfulness, you also get mistakes, and you get a wee bit of inconsistency throughout a whole game in 90 minutes. But, you know, so listen, we as sports start of the season, we just had a look at changing things around and look at the structures and giving young lads an opportunity locally, and that's what he's done. So, you know, we have to stay with it now in regards players-wise, and you know, it's been youthful, it's been good energy, it's been well supported by the club, and it's really positive.
And one of the big talking points from last week's game against Wexford, Declan, when you mentioned the youth players or the younger players within the squad, one of them who came off the bench, Sean O'Donnell, really impressive on the left side, and along with another substitute, De Silva, both of those seemed to give Harps renewed energy.
Yeah, of course, and that's key, you know. I mean, you know, great to see the young lads get an opportunity. You know, for me, down through the years, that wasn't the case, but it's great to see them now get an opportunity. So players can look up, they see the pathway in the academy, they see what's happening, and there's a positivity around the players. So it's great when young players get the opportunity, but also when they get the opportunity, they obviously must put in a good performance and take that opportunity, and that's what you're looking for, the young players coming through. But yeah, energy, and the league now is all about, you know, bringing in four or five subs throughout all games, even in the senior level and the Premier League as well. You know, you're looking at players coming into games and making an impact and changing the game in a positive way for the teams, and that's what you're looking for. You want your subs to come on and make a big difference in the game.
Okay, well, that match then is part of a busy programme in the First Division, Declan. Most of the games are taking place on the evening of St Patrick's Day. Athlone Town against Tredy, Cove playing Galway United, and Wexford against Kerry FC. Now, Kerry will have to try and bounce back after that big defeat against Galway, who have already shown, Declan, in these opening few weeks that they are probably the side that's going to have to be beaten if you're wanting to maybe go up as champions from the First Division.
Yeah, no, I would agree. When you look at the squad of players that came out in the first match of the season and the strength and depth, the physical strength and depth as well, you know, the key, they've got a real experience there as well. So they've been there before, you know, they've tried now for 3 or 4 years without, you know, getting up, and this year is probably their best opportunity. They pushed Cork well last year and fell off near the last quarter of the season, but this year they come out and they're in a rich vein of form. They've got good results already. Obviously, they annihilated Kerry, and that wasn't great to see, but I mean, the big result against Waterford as well. So they're going really well, you know, four positive results. So they'll be looking to push on as much as possible. I see them, for me, as a team to stop in this First Division.
Okay, well, you mentioned Cork City there, and that's the perfect chance to move on to the Premier Division situation. And Cork City picked up a couple of notable results as well, didn't they, Declan? The latest one, that 2-2 draw at Sligo Rovers, probably feel they might have taken all 3 points in that game, but I'm sure they'll be pretty happy with how things have started for them in the top division.
Yeah, Conley will be well pleased with his players and how they responded. I was up at the game, obviously, in the showgrounds last week, and they were 2-0 up and pretty much cruising. They were defensively very good, very professional, had a really good structure about themselves. They had pace as well up top, and this was a good performance, scored a very good second goal. The first goal was a set play, and Sligo didn't defend it very well. The second goal was a really good strike. They looked to be cruising, and then suddenly the game can change in one moment in a corner from Sligo Rovers, and they get a goal out of it, and from that momentum swung towards Sligo Rovers, and if they got a penalty near the end, the 92nd minute, and Max Matta, who's had 4 goals so far this season, has stepped up and put it into the bottom right-hand corner and got them out of jail a wee bit in a 2-2 draw. And it was probably a very soft penalty, to be truthful. And I think if Colin Healy and his players wouldn't be happy with the penalty. But, yeah, listen, it's one of those results, and they've done very well. You know, they're away from home. They played Shamrock Rovers, drew 4 each on the Monday, and up in Tala got a big result there, and then came to the showgrounds on a Saturday and got a 2-2 draw. So two away games, two big games, and they picked up 2 points from them alone. But probably they're looking back and they're probably thinking there was probably 6 points, you know, they should have picked up the two games. But their performances have been good. You know, they're very workman, very organised, as I say, very professional, and defensively very good.
Yeah, and next up for them is a game against Shelburne at Turner's Cross. I would imagine be a big crowd at this one. A 5 o'clock start on Friday evening for that one. It's a similar kickoff time for Shamrock Rovers at home to St Pat's. Both teams could really do with a good result from this one, because they are both in the bottom three after 5 matches played. But the one of the games of the weekend, no doubt about it, at the Brandywell, Declan, Derry City hosting Sligo Rovers. And, well, listen, I would have thought Derry City would have been hoping to make home form count this season. They slipped up perhaps against Dundalk. Not too sure what you make of that one. But, another big game this weekend.
Yeah, big game. A big crowd when the Brandywell sold out again. So it's great to see that. And the tens around the league have been up this year, more so than last year, and which is great to see. So that tells you the teams are doing very well, and they've been well supported locally, and there's really community engagement and supporting their club. And there's no difference than Derry City or Sligo Rovers as well. And Derry City are going well, good squad of players. They probably should have got 3 points against Dundalk. The second half performance is very good. And they're disappointed didn't get, you know, 3 points out of the game, but they'll be looking to make amends against Sligo Rovers. But Sligo Rovers come in really good form, have a really good squad of players there, good strong bench as well, can make a difference in the game. So you just don't know how that game could go, but Derry will obviously be pushing hard for the 3 points, and Sligo will probably play a bit more defensive against Derry City and try to hit them in the counter attack, and they have the players that can cause problems in the counter attack. So it's going to be a really interesting game. So not sure how it's going to go. Obviously Derry will be looking for 3 points now, and Sligo will try to get something out of it, but it could go either way.
Yeah, and never an easy one to call, Declan. You know, the results between Derry and Sligo, you know, the home form is always a big one, but never an easy result to predict.
No, absolutely. You just never know. Last year, all the games, I think there's only one goal between them. And they met three or four times last year. So again, it's going to be similar. You know, obviously, you find the team that scores first will obviously benefit and get a bounce on that, and I just don't know. But you know, the quality of players that Derry have at their disposal, the bench that can come on and change the games, they've got real quality and depth this year, and probably more so than they had last year, and they'll be looking to use that, and it might be somebody coming off the bench to make a difference in the game that could push it their way.
Bowes leading the way then going into this weekend's round of fixtures. Declan, there's one game tonight, by the way, Drogheda playing Dundalk, but that Bowes game against UCD, it's a case of top against bottom, and credit to Declan Devine for the start that his team has made to the new Premier Division season.
Yeah, very good to see Declan going up and doing so well, you know, and you just weren't sure, you know, you're up leaving from Derry and up to obviously Bowes, and but he's hit the ground running. I think he's got four ones, one defeat, so he's in 12 points. Yeah, he's just ahead of the chasing pack, and Derry on 11 points as well. So yeah, listen, they're at home, they're against UCD. UCD have only one, picked up 1 point. I've conceded a lot of goals so far defensively, not great this year so far, and Bowes will be looking to push forward and get another 3 points. And you know, I mean, you couldn't ask for any more. If Declan Devine and his team can pull another 3 points out of that game against UCD, that's them in 5 ones out of six, and that's a brilliant start for them and for Declan Devine.
It sure is. Well, it's busy times, Declan. The underage season up and running as well. How are things going with yourself in terms of your Sligo Rovers team at under-19 level? Are you up and running yet?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're up and running. We're back training since early January. So, like all academy teams, it's you don't get too much rest, the same as the first team. But yeah, listen, we're up and running. We had one game to date, and we're actually playing in the Brandywell against Derry on Sunday afternoon. So we're looking forward to that one. And yeah, so it's a good test for the lads going up to Brandywell and getting an opportunity to play there, which is great as well.
Okay, Declan, we wish you well with that one, and thanks for joining us this evening. That's Declan Boyle there. And by the way, that Longford Town Harps game on Saturday night starts at 7:30, and we'll have updates here on Highland with Darren Kelly. We'll be back after this break. Yeah, the gremlins of Zoom not doing us any favours at the start of tonight's programme, but hopefully we can turn our attentions now to Gaelic games, and hope, and John Gildea is on the line. John, a very good evening. Hopefully you're there.
Hi, Jeremy. Good evening to you.
Yes, John. Thank you for your patience. The game on Sunday then, Donegal and Mayo, John, it holds so much importance for Donegal. Perhaps when you look at the league table, less so for Mayo, but it's fair to say the build-up hasn't really been helped by the fact that Donegal football has been grabbing national media attention this week again, John, over the academy controversy.
Yeah, it's just been a kind of a negative energy feeding into negative energy, which is never a good thing. And when something's wrong, everything's wrong, and there's that tendency for that to happen in Donegal. You know, when we're riding the crest of a wave, everybody's on the bus, and then on the flip side of that, when things are going wrong, you know, we can't seem to get out of our own way to a certain extent, but things are going wrong, and then it's obviously exacerbated by the fact that the senior team's not going as well as we're used to. And I suppose there's a new realization there that there's been a changing of the guard, both from a player perspective and from a management perspective. And I suppose it's taken a lot of people a little bit of time to you know, get to grips of exactly where we're at in that regard. And obviously Sunday's game is a massive game. Mayo are flying, we're not. And traditionally Mayo never do us any favours, so I don't anticipate that Mayo will be coming to Baba Fáil on Sunday to help us out in any way, shape or form. So it'll be a tough affair for all concerned.
It certainly will. Well, Jim McGuinness is the latest to have his say on this controversy, John. I mean, when somebody like Jim McGuinness speaks, people sit up and listen, don't they? What's your thoughts on what he had to say?
It's a difficult one, you know, because obviously, you know, it's unless you know the full context of all discussions and conversations, it's very hard to determine, you know, what really transpired. Like, I know Jim is a proud Donegal man and would always make himself available. And then, you know, I can't imagine in any kind of situation where anybody, you know, from an underage perspective wouldn't want Jim involved in some way, shape or form. And then obviously you have the fallout with Carl and the coaches walking away. So there's a lot of stuff out there that's unsaid at the present point in time, in the sense that very hard to get to the bottom of it because nobody's come out and said anything. There's a lot of things that are half said, and as we all know in this world, that, you know, when there's a real lack of clarity, it leads to all sorts of speculations, which really doesn't do anybody any favors. So what I think needs to happen is there needs to be a clearing of the air. There needs to be a full accountability as regards what went on, you know, and not so much to point the finger or to blame anybody, but just to make sure it doesn't happen again and rectify the situation to the betterment of Donegal football.
Yeah, you know what, John, you're right, because even today, national pundits and commentators on various social media platforms having their say on what Jim McGuinness had to say this weekend, I mean, it hardly helps, because I wouldn't imagine they would have much more knowledge than any of the rest of us.
No, and in the grand scheme of things, like, I read what Jim said or was alleged to have said, and then what happens is with the Chinese whispers, every time it goes to another source, there's a bit added on or taken away, and it's taken within a bit different context. And as we all know, just like ourselves on here this evening, we have an opinion and we're having a conversation. A lot of those media broadcasters, they need something to talk about. You know, nobody's talking about Gaelic really this week. Everybody's concentrating and focused on the rugby, and there's a pressure on from that point of view as well, from a GAA perspective. And, you know, all these podcasts are looking for their soundbite. And unfortunately, down through the years, what has happened is, as a county, we've tend to give people the opportunity to have a talk about us, have a laugh at us. A bit like, there's always something going on up there, what's happened. And that had drifted away for quite some time because we were successful. But now again, that when we're facing into, uncertain times with the senior squad, that just leads then to uncertainties in other aspects of the GAA within the county. And then everybody piles on board, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But as I said, I think there needs to be a real sense of clarity right now from all involved to say, okay, what happened? What went on? Was there miscommunication? Did things go wrong? And as I said, I don't know enough about it to point the fingers or to say this happened or that happened. But I know that there's enough speculation floating around on both sides right now for a clearing of there, just to get things wrapped up and done with so we can move on and we can start looking at more positive times ahead.
Okay, well, let's move on then, John, and let's look at this game on Sunday. Is this a good time to be meeting Mayo, John, given the fact that they've been going so well? They're sitting on 8 points, top of Division 1. They can afford to come to Balbuffet and not pick up a win, can't they? And perhaps maybe that might suit Paddy Carr's Donegal.
Yeah, I just think it's an ideal time in one sense. And the other side of the equation is when a team is used to winning games, is on a high, sometimes they don't know how to lose. You know, just like you can get into the habit of losing games, you can get into the habit of winning games. And this Mayo team's, they're fighting for championship spots. They're going very well. Looks like they'll be in a league final, no matter what they do. They're playing a very exciting attacking brand of football. It's end-to-end stuff. They've unearthed some good talent over the last 12 months. And McStay and his squad and his management team, seem to be putting in, doing all the right things right now. Now, I know it's early in the year, they're one of the form teams in the country right now, if not the form team. I suppose from our perspective, it's a lot of young players struggling to find their feet in certain instances. Things have gone against us. We have two results against Galway and Armagh, and have a little bit of luck on our side. We could have maybe scraped out a result or a more positive result in the Galway game, maybe won that game and got a result against Armagh, and then the whole dynamic changes. So, based on those two performances, particularly after the Tyrone performance, where you would think we're a million miles off the pace because we were nowhere, the last two performances have been encouraging in the sense that there's been a lot of character shown when games could have run away from them, when they could have died. They stuck in there, and maybe we're lacking a little bit of quality at certain times, but that'll come with experience. And again, when you're losing games, you're under pressure and everything becomes that a little bit harder, and it's harder to make the run and it's harder to kick the ball over the bar. And I think we're suffering a bit like that right now, and probably suffering from a bit of confidence, and all that plays into it. But listen, we have to win two games, or we have to get, results out of both games here to be in the shake-up to stay in Division 1. And they're not going to be easy. And as I said earlier on, I don't believe that Mayo are coming to Balbuffet to do Donegal any favours, because as we all know, down through the years, there's been no love lost between both counties.
And that is very true, John. And there'll be a big crowd up from Mayo for this one as well this weekend. Thankfully, Donegal still have this fairly good record in McCool Park, haven't they? And remember, on their last outing, Kerry were the visitors. We went to that game more in hope than expectation, but look what happened that day. Could we see something similar this weekend?
Listen, there's always that possibility. And I don't want to be writing anybody off. If you're going on the form guide right now, you would suggest that Mayo are going to come away with a win. But again, we're our backs are to the wall. The next two games are going to tell us a lot as regards, you know, how we're going to perform, what are we going to get out of those games, et cetera, et cetera. I find it hard to look past Mayo at the present point in time. I've been very, very impressed with them overall. And again, they're coming with no pressure. So, you know, it's a toss of a coin. Form, you would say Mayo, but obviously as Donegal people, we'd be hoping to go to Balbuffet and get a result and get a result against the form guide.
Yeah, because this could be a big weekend, couldn't it, John? Because one of the other standout fixtures in Division 1 is the meeting of Monaghan and Tyrone. Two sides just sitting above Donegal in the table. So at least one of those teams is going to drop points this weekend as well.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a testament to Ulster football right now that, you know, a lot of the so-called big three, if you look at Derry or Tyrone, Monaghan and Donegal would have been the big three in Ulster for the last 15 years, really, apart from, you know, when Derry made the breakthrough last year. And all three of those sides are struggling, and I think that shows that there's a real changing of the guard, not even from a National League perspective, because two out of those three are going to go down. I think that's the reality. We're just hoping we're not one of them. And then also looking further ahead towards the Ulster Championship, you know, none of those three teams are going well. The so-called big three back in the day, and that, you know, opens the door again for Derry to come through, who are going very well in Division 2. And obviously there's a lot of hope being pinned on Armagh at the present point in time as well. So there's a lot to play for right now, but again, it shows that there's a fall off maybe in the standards within Ulster over the last couple of years compared to what we used to years ago.
Okay, and before I let you go then, you mentioned Derry then, John. Super season for them so far, and they got the better of Dublin in that big game a couple of weeks ago in Division 2, which left them top of the table. So you would think and you would hope that they can kick on from here and gain promotion back to Division 1.
Yeah, they look like a shoe-in at this point in time. They're playing a good brand of football. They're really in good shape at this time of the year. There's a real spring in the step. Confidence is an amazing thing, and that's what they have with the Buns. Rory Geller's done an amazing job in getting them to believe in themselves, and there seems to be a real togetherness in there. And again, success breeds that kind of togetherness. When things are going well, everybody's pushing in the same direction, and you know they look a very, very strong proposition. I think almost certainly they're going to come out of Division 2. They'll probably play Dublin in a league final, and I suppose Dublin will have learned a lot from that game as well, and then that's going to set Derry very, very much up for a real rattle at the Ulster Championship this year again. So the tides have definitely turned within both counties, within Donegal and Derry over the last 12-24 months, to the point where, you know, they're really on the up, and they've come on a long journey, because I think not so long ago they were in Division 4. They went down through the ranks very rapidly and they came back up just as quick, and they're on the crest of a wave right now.
Yeah, and this weekend they play Clare on Sunday, a 1 o'clock throw-in. In that game, Derry have a home fixture. Donegal against Mayo throws in at 4:15. John Gilday, thanks for joining us on the programme this evening.
My pleasure, Jim. Take care.
John Gilday there. So good to hear from John. By the way, the action in Division 1 gets underway on Saturday. Armagh playing host to Galway at 5 o'clock, and then at 7:30, Kerry play host to Roscommon. We'll be back after this break. And you're welcome back to The Score. A couple of minor league fixtures in Ulster taking place. Well, the first one is this evening, in fact, 7:30. So they're just underway in Owen Beg, where Derry are playing Antrim. That's in the Jim McGuigan Cup, the Ulster Football Minor League. And then tomorrow at 12 o'clock in Convoy, Donegal, who have enjoyed a good start to their Jim McGuigan Cup campaign, they play host to Cavan. Well, just like the senior men, Donegal's senior ladies go into battle this weekend, knowing that relegation from Division 1 is a very real possibility. They play host to Dublin at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny on Friday afternoon. And joining us to look ahead to what's another big game is former Donegal player Maureen O'Donnell. Maureen, you're welcome along to the programme.
Good afternoon, Dermot. How are you getting on?
I'm good, Maureen. I'm good. Maxi Kern's side could do with a victory in this one. Unfortunately, it's Dublin who stand in their way of what will be a much-needed victory.
Yeah, absolutely. It all goes down to tomorrow's game, really. Like, we're into round six of the league games now at this stage. And Donegal are really fighting for fighting to keep out of relegation now at this stage. With the possibility of going out to Division Two, and of course Donegal Ladies have been up in Division One since 2016 and doing really, really well. This year, totally different team out there this year. So you know, a lot of people asking the question as to what's gone wrong maybe in the space of a year, but a huge transition in ladies football going on at the minute within the Donegal Ladies, same as the Donegal Men have faced there in the last year. So listen, it comes down to tomorrow's game, all right, for sure. And current form against Dublin, the Donegal Ladies do really, really well against Dublin. The girls have always performed against Dublin, as you've seen last year in the All-Ireland semi-final or the All-Ireland quarter-finals, picked up the one against Dublin to go into the semi-finals against Meath. So over the last number of years, Donegal do very well against Dublin, and it's a home game as well, so it'll definitely be that added bonus for the Donegal Ladies tomorrow. But you know yourself, it always comes down to the game. Dublin have an awful lot to lose as well tomorrow. They're still fighting for a final spot. They're currently on 9 points Dermot at the minute. So two victories for Dublin means they go on to 15 points. If Galway lose against Mayo on Sunday, Dublin are still very much in the running for at Division One final spot against Kerry.
Yeah, so still a lot to play for Dublin. A team that perhaps is in transition as well, Maureen. They're not the Dublin that we remember from years ago when they were, you know, able to beat any sides that came up ahead of them. I watched them against Mayo last time out. They were very fortunate to come from behind and win that one.
Yeah, listen, they've lost an awful lot of big players as well throughout the year there from last year's team. A lot of them went into retirement and this is what's happening. But, you know, they started off not so well at the beginning of the league, but they're certainly showing their form now again. Hannah Terrell was out for one game. It showed it was a huge impact on them, but she's back in there. And, you know, I guess she's putting over an awful lot of scores for Dublin. Carla Rose, the captain, great leader as well. And, you know, they're very much still in the running. You never rule Dublin out at any stage. And whatever's about Dublin and the likes of Cork and Dublin, they're able to turn over, you know, very good underage players each year and come along. They're in a bit of a transition, as you say, but they're still doing relatively well, Dermot, you know. They're right. Still a team to be reckoned with.
In contrast, Donegal then struggling to pick up any kind of results and points on the table. Maureen, last time out, they went to Cork. They were on the wrong end of a heavy defeat. Fair play to Maxi. He took the beating on the chin, didn't he? But you could tell from his interview afterwards that he was so disappointed at the manner of that loss.
Yeah, listen, it was a huge blow, and you know, we could talk about it all day, and you know, you could do a post-mortem on the game, but ultimately it was their second away trip. They had been to Kerry previous to that and had lost to Kerry. Kerry's having a tremendous season, you know, in Division One, having coming up, beating Armagh in the Division Two final last year. Kerry are just going from strength to strength. They're in a pattern of winning. And as John says there, it's a habit. When you get into a habit of winning, Donegal, unfortunately, another side of the thing, they're in a habit of losing now at the minute. And, you know, they just need, I feel, that the game against Cork, a blip on the radar, you know, I feel like they need to put it in their back pockets now and move on. It was probably a huge blow to them. Very disappointing. But you know, you got to look at the positives as well in terms of the league. I always say the league is a platform, you know, to be able to try and allow younger players to get a game time, to get that experience along with some of the older members of the team. And, you know, I feel like Donegal have really used the league in that capacity this year. And we've seen an awful lot of young players, minors particularly, coming into the form. And these are the girls that we're going to be looking to in the next number of years to try and keep Donegal sort of at the top level and to be able to compete at the top level. So it's important to get those players out. And fair play to Maxi, you know, he's doing the best with what he has at the minute. And that's not to say the players that he has, they're a very talented bunch of players. Like you've seen there, ATU won the Lynch Cup during the week. There's about four or five of those that are in the starting ATU team that are playing and they're currently in the panel for Donegal at the minute and getting game time. So that's a huge plus, you know. And we've lost about 9 players in last year's team. You don't have Yvonne, you don't have Karen, you don't have Tanya Kennedy, Deirdre Foley, Rosha McCafferty, Niamh McLaughlin is injured, Blanett's out injured at the minute. That's just to name some of the players that we're missing. We're hoping that some of them will come back into the four now maybe in the next couple of weeks, which will add to the strength of the Donegal team going forward. And, you know, would it be a terrible thing if we were relegated to Division 2 With the current crop of players that we have, I feel it's very competitive down there. When you look at the teams, when you look at teams like Kerry that have come out of there, and Meath that have come out of there, and what they have done in Division One, and what they have done in terms of All Ireland, you know, so
we that's what I was going to ask you, Maureen, because it's different, isn't it, from the men's situation, because dropping down into Division Two could have an impact in terms of where you end up in the championship and the new structure in men's football. Not the same in ladies' football. Perhaps relegation, you know, could be looked at as a chance to maybe, you know, have a look at things and try and sort a few things out that need sorting.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the probably the biggest problem with going to Division Two is because it is that competitive. You know, Armagh have been trying to get out of Division Two now for a number of years. They unfortunately lost out to Kerry last year in the final, very narrowly in Croke Park, and they're still struggling to get out of Division Two, and hopefully probably, I'd fancy them to get out of Division Two and up to Division One this year. A fantastic team. You know, and always compete very well. They've won the last three Ulster championships. Donegal haven't been able to overcome them, so they're doing they're doing very, very well, and they're coming from Division Two. Like, as I say, Donegal were in came up to Division One in 2016. They were in Division Two until that. They were in intermediate. They won the intermediate championship final in 2010, and Donegal really have went from strength to strength then. They competed a number of years in Division Two. Once they got out of Division Two and into Division One, as I say, they moved from strength to strength. But that depended hugely on their team at the time. The players that were up until last year, those players have probably been in a Donegal jersey for 15 to 20 years. You look at Yvonne. Yvonne played alongside me in the Junior All-Ireland Final in 2003. And, you know, we're still looking to get her back into the play this year. So those players have been hanging on for a long time now, and they're due to retire. And it's no guilt upon them because they've put on huge service to the Donegal jersey. But for the new players that are coming through this transition, Division Two wouldn't be a bad thing. You know, it's still highly competitive, and they'd get great game time and great experience out of that, and maybe go from strength to strength.
Yeah, well, listen, Maureen, I know you're not saying we're gone just yet, and hopefully they can pick up what would be a much-needed first victory tomorrow against Dublin. It's a really attractive fixture, isn't it, in Letterkenny on St. Patrick's Day afternoon, so a great chance to go along and see what will hopefully be a good game. You touched on Niamh McLaughlin, Maureen, just there in your last wee piece. Niamh has been injured, unfortunately, not being able to feature for Maxi Curran's side. She was linked this week with a move to Australia. Have you any news on what might be happening there?
Yeah, listen, no doubt, you know, they'll be looking after her picking up the player of the year last year, a hugely talented player, Niamh McLaughlin, and a great leader. And you know, I'm sure she's been watched very carefully in terms of that. And it was only a matter of time till she was picked up by one of those teams. And it's great to see her, you know, maybe making that move, particularly now when Donegal aren't going that well. But at the end of the day, she'll not be leaving, and she'll not be leaving her county maybe till after championship, that's for sure. And if I know Niamh will never be, she'll never leave halfway through. But I think that's the way it works. It allows the Irish girls here time to play their football out and then make the move and come back. You look at Vicky Wall, probably be back in the fall for Meath now very shortly. So listen, it's a great thing for these players. They're getting real professional treatment out there, and it's the opportunity to go, you know, to Australia and, you know, to compete in that. It's a different game, a wee bit different to hear, but it is fantastic. It's fantastic to see her getting up there. It was only a matter of time. And, you know, we see a lot of her players now going out there to play. And Tanya Kennedy was back in the fold last year for Donegal, and she was a huge asset. And, you know, she's playing a lot of her football out there in Australia as well. So, yeah, it's fantastic, but Niamh probably won't. She'll definitely see the year out here for Donegal. I know her being captain, and it'll be great to see her back into the fold. Okay. And you talked there as well about what's ahead now. Like, really interesting fixture now tomorrow. Donegal, you know, if Donegal won and Mayo won, it still comes down to next weekend's game against Donegal. And Donegal would need to win against Mayo next weekend. Just happen to be draw. It'll come down to a head-to-head. But if Donegal won and Mayo lose, they're on 3 points each. So it'll come down to next weekend as well. So the only way really Donegal can white is if Donegal lose tomorrow and Mayo won on Sunday. So it's really all eyes in the fixtures this weekend.
Yeah, well, we look forward to that. Yourself and myself on commentary tomorrow then, Maureen. So we'll be with each other tomorrow afternoon. And for now, thanks for joining us on the programme tonight.
Thanks very much, Dermot.
Maureen O'Donnell there. That game tomorrow in O'Donnell Park, Letterkenny throws in at 2 o'clock. We'll be back after this break. And you're welcome back. Cock Hill Celtic are just one game away from making the FAI Intermediate Cup final at the Aviva Stadium. This Sunday in Cork, they face Ringmahon Rangers at the semi-final stage of the competition. Chris Ashmore has been getting a feel of Cock Hill's preparations for this game. Coming up, we'll hear from Chairman Tommy Doherty. But first up, it's Garvin Freel.
Garvin, this is a massive game for the club. If you win this one, you're through to a final at the Aviva Stadium. And Cock Hill, well, fair to say you've been knocking at the door in this competition for many years. It really would be great to get over that semi-final hurdle and into a final.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely, we've been knocking at the door this last number of years, and I think the quarterfinal is as far as we got. So hopefully now we can do one better coming the weekend. It's a competition that we've always been looking to get a good run on. I don't think it's any hiding the fact that we'll always be kind of judged on our Intermediate Cup. So hopefully now on Sunday we can put the best foot forward and do ourselves justice.
Well, Cock Hill have dominated the Ulster Senior League for the past decade, and I suppose for some of the players, Garvin, you know, there's not too many chances that you get to a final, and this could be the last. So you want to make the most of it and, you know, give it everything on Sunday, because these prizes don't come around too often.
No, definitely not. Like, as I say, I've been involved in the club now since 08 or 09, and it's looking, the way intermediate football is at the minute, we might never get this chance again. So it's hugely important for us as a group. We just want to do our best to sort of savour it and make the most of it now come Sunday. As I say, put our best foot forward and hopefully get ourselves into a final.
Now, to get to the semi-final, you've certainly come up against some stern opposition so far, and the results this year have been very encouraging. You've overcome each hurdle put in front of you.
Oh, absolutely. Even getting out of our own county was very difficult. We drew away to Bunagee, which we came out 2-0. We won 2-0 when we had two men sent off. We were down to nine men. So even just to get out of our own county, you know, it was really tough. We've kind of done it the hard way. We've been away from home. We got one home draw, which is kind of unusual for us. We played Liffey Wanderers, and then we went away to Avondale, which is never easy. I think they've won this cup more than anybody else. And we've really did the tough way, and we're looking forward now to, again, another away trip on Sunday.
Yeah, another away trip. Cork opposition again, Ringmahon Rangers. And, you know, the Munster Senior League, of the senior leagues, it's as intense as any. I was just looking at the league table there, and Ringmahon, I think they're fifth at the moment, but they have a game in hand on the leaders. But they've only lost once in nine league games. They're going to be a very hard team to beat.
They definitely have a big pedigree, and it's going to be a tough ask. But look, we know a lot about them, but at the same time, we're going to have confidence in ourselves. We believe that we're as good as anybody on our day in the country, and we've, as over the years, we've had a lot of away draws in this competition. We've been to Cork numerous times. I sort of feel like it's nothing new to us, and it's sort of standing this, and hopefully this year it really will, when we're used to it and we can make the most of it. You know, they get us over the line. It doesn't faze us at the minute.
Yeah, I was looking at their results of late. They've had a busy week or so. They beat Avondale in the Munster Senior League. Then they lost to Middleton last weekend in the Munster Senior League Keane Cup, and then had a victory over Fermoy 7-0 in the Beamish Cup. So they've had a busy week. Looking forward to the game, you know, they're getting a lot of publicity down there. I think it's their third semi-final, I was reading, in 10 years. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be a good home support for them. But as you say, I mean, you've nothing to fear. You're right up there, and sometimes it can just be one year you might just get the breaks, that other years you don't.
This is it. Like, you know, we have plenty of experience, and there's plenty of youth there, like younger guys. And, you know, even the younger guys have played, you know, Corey McBride and Lee McLaughlin and Finn McClure, the likes of these boys, have all played on a big stage. They've played in school finals, and they've played with international teams. So in that sense, it'll be nothing new to us playing in front of a crowd, and we'll relish it, really. So we're looking forward to it more than anything else. Hopefully, as you say, this could be our year, something, the kick of a ball. I think it'll come down to something simple, whoever makes the least mistakes, as they say.
just the kick of the ball goes right for you, we'll be on the right side of it, hopefully.
Aside from the Intermediate Cup, you also have the FAI Senior Cup to look forward to, and the draw made there, the preliminary round. You're going to be at home to St Mochta's, a side who you've played in the past.
Yeah, we travelled to St Mochta's a few times, actually. We sort of know them as well. We got a home draw this time. I think it's the 9th of April. And look, with things going well at the minute and the team going well, it's really a great draw for the club. Hopefully, you know, we've been away most of the time this year and over the years. So hopefully, you know, with the home draw, we might get a few heads out to watch us and a big support for the club because it's needed at the minute.
Yeah, I think St Mochta's in the past, didn't Glenn Crowe, the former Bohemian striker, I think he had a spell with them and played against you?
Played against us, that's right. I think it was down there. Oh, look, like teams in Dublin, the same probably as Ringmahon. They have a great pedigree and a lot of good players come through the clubs. That's a lot easier for them to attract players. We find it a wee bit more difficult, but credit to the likes of Gavin and Jazza, you know, this year they put a lot of work in and building a really good squad. We have 18 players and any one of them can play in any day. And in that sense, we don't fear any names.
Having a strong squad is part of it these days. If you're going to win a competition, often the guy coming off the bench can be a match winner, and you certainly need that backup.
There's no question about it. Many games this year, nearly most of our games, we've had guys coming off the bench and getting winners, and that's sort of been the story of our season, you know, even the last two seasons. And at the minute, the way we are, we have a like-for-like player in every position, and everybody's going to count come Sunday and for the rest of the season. Every game for us from now to the end of the season is going to be a cup final, and everybody's going to play their part.
And finally, Garvin, what would it mean to you and the rest of the team to reach a final and get that chance to play at the Aviva Stadium?
Look, I think as a player, you know, it doesn't get much better than playing at the Aviva, and I don't think there's any shying away from the fact that this group of players, it's what we've been working towards the last 10 years, we could say, and because we've been so dominant within our county, you know, there's always that question asked about how we can't do it on a national stage, and you know, it would mean a lot, and anybody to, you know, they have the answer for them, you know, it means everything as a player, and we're working very hard, and hopefully we come out on the right side of it this year. It would mean a lot.
Well, Garvin, thanks for joining us. We wish you the very best of luck in that game against Ringmahon, and hopefully Coghill will get through and book their place in the final of the FAI Intermediate Cup. Tommy Doherty, chairman of Coghill Celtic FC, a huge day for the club this weekend. You're making the long trip down to Cork to play Ringmahon Rangers in the semi-final of the FAI Intermediate Cup. You've already made history getting to this stage of the competition, but it would mean so much to so many people if you could get to that final, wouldn't it?
It would be absolutely fantastic, Trusty Bannatry, and it's something we would love to do, you know, for the team and for the management of the team and the backroom staff, and the effort they've put on over the last few years to even to reach this far is unbelievable from a small club up here. And it's showing, like, I mean, we're coming from a league with five teams at the minute, the Ulster Senior League, you know, and you're competing against the best junior teams or not, junior intermediate sides in Ireland at this stage, and it's even to get to the last four is an unbelievable achievement. You know, I mean, I couldn't be prouder of the manager and the playing staff at the minute and the backroom staff. It's been fantastic for the last few years. It's unbelievable. We're over the moon about it, quite honestly.
Over the years, you've gone close to going all the way. You've got to the quarterfinal on a number of occasions and probably been unlucky not to have progressed further. So maybe this time round, just with that little touch of luck, you could go that bit further.
Well, I think as maybe Gavin said, we can compete with any intermediate side in the country at the minute. We have no fear from any team, as I say, we've been playing and knocking it over this last few years. And last year in particular, we went out of the quarter-final stages with Blue Bell, and I felt we didn't do ourselves justice that day. The year, they seem to be, every week, seems to be improving and improving, and it's been going fantastic at the minute, to be honest with you, you know.
That's Tommy Doherty finishing that piece that Chris Ashmore prepared ahead of Coghill Celtic's long trip to Cork on Sunday in the FAI Intermediate Cup semi-final. Ringmahon Rangers standing between themselves and a place at the Aviva Stadium. We wish Coghill Celtic all the very best. There's a busy weekend of action in junior soccer here in Donegal. both in Inishowen and in the Donegal League. And of course, the hurlers are out this weekend. Donegal hurlers play Tyrone in a big game in the National Hurling League Division 2B. That's on Sunday at 1 o'clock in O'Donnell Park. Tom Comack will be at that one for Highland Radio Sunday Sport. And that will be, he'll have updates throughout the afternoon from that game in Letterkenny. Well, that's about it for this evening. Hopefully you have an enjoyable St. Patrick's Day. And if you're not getting along to any matches this weekend, well, you can stay tuned to Highland Radio, where we will have coverage from all the main action. Thanks to tonight's guests. Thanks to Joe, who engineered, from myself, Dermot Doherty. Enjoy the rest of your evening.